Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 10, we'll read the first 8 verses. "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, and gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the 9th hour, or about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he saw an angel of God coming into him and saying, 'Cornelius.' And when he looked, he was afraid and said, 'What is it, Lord?' And he said unto him, 'Your prayers and your alms, or your giving, are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname or last name, I suppose, is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do.' And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa." Heavenly Father, help us as we study your word. And always I pray, and it's the longing of my heart, that we through the word of God would see Jesus Christ. Sir, we would see Jesus as that man said. And for these things, Lord, I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here in chapter 10 of Acts, and also 11, because you have to have both together, it's nothing but narrative. And I don't want to read all of that. I want to just tell you what happened, and we'll see what we can find. But there's a number of things you can get from this. First, we're keying off of Acts chapter 1. Verse 8, that after that the Holy Ghost would come upon them, they would be witnesses of the Lord, first in Jerusalem, and then all Judea, and then Samaria, and then to the Gentiles, or to the uttermost part of the earth. That verse is the key to understanding the book of Acts. And as you read through the book, you see that happened. And last week, we talked about Paul. And that week, and I guess the week before, we talked about the Samaritans, that the gospel had reached Samaria. And today, the fourth part of that prophecy, or direction, should I say, the gospel finally reaches the Gentiles. And as you read these two chapters, think of other things that happen in the book of Acts and in the epistles, you'll see that up until this point it was still centered in Jerusalem. the 12 apostles or whatever were there. That was headquarters, I guess you could say. But each stage, they didn't have to go very far to reach Judea. But when they got to Samaria, and it was Peter that went, hey, you know, these Samaritans, they've received the gospel. And then there was an emissary that came from Jerusalem to check them out. And here too, as the gospel reached the Gentiles, Peter had to report back to Jerusalem and tell the story, and he had to answer the objections and what have you. And finally, at the end, they said, okay, amen, we agree, that's good. And then they began to target the Gentiles specifically. But let's look at the narrative, I guess. Let's see what we can find. There was a Gentile. He might have been a proselyte. He might have joined himself to Israel in some manner. He might have. I don't know the whole story. But it says that he was a devout man. He went to church all the time, or the synagogue all the time, what have you. He feared God with all of his household. And he gave alms. He put a lot of money in the bucket, what have you. And he prayed always. And as he testifies, he's praying all day, about noon, at 3 o'clock. He mentions these different times. And it's evident that he's a very devoted man to the Lord. And an angel shows up and says, hey, Cornelius, look, you know, all your duties that you do, the money that you give, you pray a lot, whatever, that's great. God sees. And as we see later, Peter testifies and says, hey, it's a good thing. You know, everywhere, in every country, he said, everywhere that God is known about, there are people that serve him, whether they be Jews or not. And Peter's happy about that. But this angel is happy about that. That was good, but that was not enough. He was a good man, a righteous man. He put money in the bucket every week or whatever, but it wasn't enough. He had to accept Jesus Christ. He needed to believe the gospel. And he and his whole household, they needed to be born again. We often say that it's good to be a good person, but being a good person is not enough. Ye must be born again. But the angel shows up and says, hey, I'm not going to tell you the gospel, but look, go talk to Peter. He's going to tell you the gospel. The angel could have showed up and says, hey, you know, why don't you sit down? Let me tell you about Jesus. He could have said that. But he didn't. Because you see, the gospel was entrusted to disciples. We are entrusted with propagating the gospel. It's our responsibility, and God will hold us responsible, by the way, if we don't preach the gospel. But God entrusts these things to us. And if you want to know about the Lord, hey, find the Bible. Find the church, find the preacher, find the Sunday school class, whatever. But the focus is always going to lead you back to genuine disciples of the Lord. And we, or they, or what have you, will tell you the truth. And that's what we see here. The angel said, hey, go find a genuine disciple and hear what he has to say. So, okay, they said, okay, that's fine. Cornelius sent a couple of guys to Joppa. They got there. They said, hey, Peter, Cornelius, our master, and, you know, they told the whole story. Okay, we want to hear, like that angel said, will you please tell us, hey, will you come back to Cornelius' house? And they did so. Peter and whoever was with him, they went back. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, in verse 25, and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Which is very strange, perhaps. But Peter says, no, stand up. I'm just a man just like you. And you can read in Revelation where that happened to John twice. He received a revelation or was impressed or whatever, and he knelt down or whatever and started to worship. And the person, because it wasn't an angel and it wasn't God, says, no, stand up. Hey, I'm a disciple just like you. And you may say it's kind of strange, but Cornelius, he was a Roman, he was part of the Italian band, and in Rome at that time, they had a lot of Greek influence. Rome had their deities, their gods, their pantheon, and that was fine, but they also looked at what the Greek pantheon was. And honestly, the two pantheons, the Greek and Roman, they mesh. They're about the same, different names, a little bit different customs, but in both they had pretty much the same gods. But in Greek understanding, it was common, I guess, to think that a god would come from heaven and take on some of the attributes of humans. And we see this when Paul got to one of the islands that he was stranded on or whatever. The people thought he was a god, and they worshipped him, and Paul said, no, I'm just a man. So this, what Cornelius did, is not entirely strange. It was entirely wrong, because we're just men. But it's not entirely strange. But anyhow, Peter shows up, and he begins to preach. But Peter is amazed. There was a Jerusalem-centric mindset. And these are all Jews. They all believed in Christ. They were all disciples of Christ. But they still had it in their minds that God is with Israel. And that's true. But it took them a while to adapt to the new reality that, hey, Gentiles are going to begin to believe. And he references this in verse 28. He told Cornelius and whatever, hey, y'all know that it's not right for a Jew to hang out with Gentiles. We're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to eat with you guys. We're supposed to be separate. But God is showing him that Jews and Gentiles, they're on the same footing now that Christ has come. And I didn't read the part about the dream that or vision or whatever that Peter had, that a great sheet came down from heaven and it was full of different kind of animals. You know that a cow and a sheep and a goat, whatever, are clean animals. And that's what Jews eat, and they don't eat crawfish, and they don't eat bacon, and they don't eat shrimp and whatever. There's clean and unclean animals. But all of these unclean animals were in the sheet, and the voice said, hey, Peter, get up and kill one of them and eat. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, I've never eaten that kind of stuff, and Jews don't eat that. And then twice more the vision was shown to him, and the voice says, look, what I've made clean, don't you call common. And the vision had to do with the Gentiles who are not Jews, who don't know all the rules and etc., don't know much about Moses. They're going to come in on the basis of Jesus died for their sins. And you can read in Romans, Paul discusses Jews and Gentiles, and that now there's no difference between the two because of Christ. But Peter begins to preach and tell the simple story. He starts at verse 36 again in Acts 10 and goes to verse 43. Just a few verses, but he sketches the story of Christ. Talks about John the Baptist, talks about God anointing him and filling him with the Spirit, and that Jesus in his 3.5 years does all these great things, and then he dies for the sins of the world, rises again, and hey, he told us to go preach. But it says in verse 44 that God interrupted Peter. He's telling the story. He's preaching the gospel. He's giving the background, whatever. And the people, Cornelius would have you, they believe. And it says in verse 44 that while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them that heard the word. The connotation of the Holy Ghost fell is that God is in heaven, and yet the Spirit came from heaven to earth and rested upon these new, brand new believers. And it says that they began to speak in other tongues, just like in Acts chapter 2. And Peter and all the Jews, all the circumcision, they were astonished, and they couldn't believe it. Hey, these Gentiles, they received the word, they believed the gospel, and then God from heaven fell upon them, filled them with the Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues. And they were astonished. And then Peter says in verse 47, hey, can anybody forbid water that these Gentiles shouldn't be baptized? Because they got filled with the Holy Ghost just like we did. And in Cornelius' house were baptized, and everybody had a great time, and Peter and all hung out for a few more days and continued to teach them and what have you. But it's interesting. They heard the word, they believed, and Peter preached repentance, and I suppose that they did that. But then they were filled with the Spirit, spoke in tongues, and then afterward, Peter said, hey, y'all got to get baptized. But in Acts chapter 2, Peter's preaching to all the Jews that had come in from the different countries for the feast. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37 through 40, it says this, now, when they had heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, everybody, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he talks about the promises to everyone, what have you. But the order here is different. In Acts chapter 2, it's repent, be baptized, and then you'll be filled with the Spirit. And it doesn't say they spoke in tongues, but they did. But in our study today in Acts chapter 10, as they heard the word and believed, the order was different. The order was different. They heard repentance, and let's say that they did repent in their hearts and believe, but then they were filled with the Spirit before they were baptized. Now, it's important to be baptized if you're a believer, and sprinkling doesn't cover it. When you were a little kid, little baby, whatever, and they sprinkled you, that, so what? That doesn't count. When you become a Christian, you need to be baptized, just like everybody else that's a Christian. But these Gentiles were filled with the Spirit before they were baptized. Again, the order is different. The United Pentecostal Church makes a big deal about this order from Acts chapter 2, verse 38. But God shows us that the order is not set in stone as they would teach. And please understand what I'm saying. Acts 2:38 is not a formula, but Matthew chapter 28 is. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now you go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. That is a formula. That is a baptismal formula, and it mentions the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The United Pentecostal Church makes a formula out of something that isn't, and they deny the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. My advice, don't listen to them. They deny the Trinity. That's an aside, but let's get off of it. So, in Acts chapter 11, as I said, Peter has to tell the story. He has to defend himself back in Jerusalem before the rest of the apostles, because they said, Hey man, you went over there with those Gentiles, those uncircumcised Gentiles, you hung out with them, you ate with them, you were in their house. I mean, what have you got to say for yourself? And Peter, it says, he rehearsed it from the beginning in verse 4, and he told the whole story about the vision with the sheet and Cornelius sending messengers saying, hey, why don't you come back with us and talk to us, what have you. He told the whole story. And as he was preaching in verse 15, the Holy Ghost fell on them just like it fell on us at the beginning. And Peter says, you know, as these things were happening, I remembered the word of the Lord in verse 16 and 17. How he said that John indeed baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost. You know, that is a sign. We sometimes say that we're sealed by the Spirit. And Paul is probably talking about the indwelling of the Spirit. But when the Spirit falls from heaven and rests upon you and you begin to speak in other tongues supernaturally, that is certainly a sign from heaven. And again, he remembers John. And he's quoting Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he rose from the dead, and he hung out for 40 days or whatever. But right before he went back to heaven, he was assembled with them and said, or commanded, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard me talk about it. For John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So Peter finishes telling his story. And all the Jews, all the apostles, whatever, the Jewish believers, it says in verse 18, when they heard those things, then all their objections were gone. That they held their peace and glorified God, saying that God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. You know, in the lesson today, three times we've seen repentance. In Acts chapter 2, it says, repent and be baptized. Peter's sermon in Cornelius' house, he said, you need to repent. And the apostles back in Jerusalem, when they heard the story, they thanked God that the Gentiles were granted repentance unto life. If you want eternal life, if you want to know that if you die today, let's say, are you going to go to heaven? You can have eternal life. You can go to heaven, but you need to believe the gospel and you need to repent of your sins. You need to stop your sinful ways. Turn to God with your whole heart. And when you're born again, and believe me, when you're born again, you'll know it. God will do something in your heart. But when you're born again, then you need to be baptized. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.